We are in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning with the 12th verse and going through to the end of the chapter, I think. For just as the body is one and has many members, he says, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them. Doesn't want to turn. Each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together in it. Now, he says, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles and second prophets and third teachers and then deeds of power and gifts of healing and forms of assistance and forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all of us work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. You know, we use the word spirit. Wide variety of ways to express how we observe people and churches and groups. That's the spirit, you know. Or he or she is high spirited. I had that said about me once, I think. Or she has spirit. Or that church is spirit filled, we hear people say. Well, Paul, in our sermon text this morning, tries to bring us a healthier, more biblical understanding of spirit and its gifts. Paul is as clear as Paul can be with this. He's saying to us, we are all spirit-filled, all of us. We are all gifted by the Spirit. It's just that we are simply gifted differently. That's what that's about. Gifted differently was meant to point out that no one's gift is superior to anybody else's gift. Gifts are no different than the parts of the body. We need all the parts, and they must work together equally and well. I was remembering as I was doing this an autistic boy who began coming to summer camp every summer, beginning in about the third grade. And it was really easy for him to become withdrawn. We had a circular drive in front of the dormitories at the campground, and there was a little garden with a big chalice in it that the men from the church in Juarez, Mexico, made for us, and benches around it, you know. And he would go out there and sit, you know, just sit. Well, it was easy for him to become withdrawn. He had a lot of trouble with hugs or any kind of touching, which is a tough thing in a camp. He really couldn't express himself very well in prayer or in reading anything or whatever. How in the world could this child, we thought as we watched the first day or two of this, how in the world could this child ever fit in? Well, then we discovered something. We discovered he could draw. He drew the most wonderful fantasy automobiles and airplanes that you've ever seen in your life. Then I realized one day he sat down and drew one of the limbs and buds and flowers from one of the cacti on the trail. And then I discovered one day that he had drawn, almost like a photograph, one of the boys at the camp who'd been kind to him. Well, the campers learned very quickly just to sit down with him and be quiet. Maybe they'd watch him draw, you know, but unless he spoke to them, they'd just let him be quiet. And by the end of the camp, we discovered in the closing circle that he had made a drawing for each person. And he even managed to accept an approving hug or two. One or two, not many. It was easy in the early church, just as it is now, for some people to assume superiority in their gifts. You have to be a certain way to fit into this society, this camp, this church, this whatever. Some people boast more wisdom than others. Some people in churches boast more knowledge of the scriptures than others. Some people boast the ultimate. That's the speaking in tongues. You know, the strange utterances that seem kind of mystical and otherworldly. Like maybe they have a special connection to the angels, or maybe they have a special divine wisdom of some kind that the rest of us are not privileged to. They say to us, as some have said to me over the years, even in ministry, now, you don't have to speak in tongues. You know, you don't have to. But I would certainly pray and wish it for you. Paul says that there is indeed a hierarchy of gifts. And the supreme gift is love. He got that from somebody famous, I think. He says the second most important gift is the gift that benefits everyone. Everyone, like healing, for example. And the greatest of gifts, he says, are the gifts that benefit everyone for the common good. Maybe the gift of holding one's tongue might be a more precious gift than an exotic tongue. Well, as Jesus appeared in the temple in our reading this morning from the gospel, as Jesus appeared in the temple to read the scrolls, they handed him the scrolls and he read from the scrolls. His reading pleased everyone. His insight was amazing. They were so excited about this young man being able to read as he could from the scrolls and being able to interpret what was there. But then there was a problem. Because then Jesus declared himself to be the one to fulfill the prophecy of the Messiah and the servant of God. And that angered the crowd. How could this little upstart, this son of Mary and Joseph, for heaven's sakes, how could he claim such a thing? And worse than that, he claimed none of the calling that was expected of the Messiah. Now we have a double problem. Instead of claiming the throne, instead of rallying the people to throw out the Romans, instead of he claimed the ministry of healing and of reconciliation and of expressions of love and concern for people around him. He claimed the ministry of the song in Isaiah 61. He was anointed. He was anointed by God to bring good news to the poor who didn't get much good news, to proclaim release to the captives, to help the blind to see and the oppressed to go free, and to proclaim every year, whatever year it was, as a year belonging to God. So from the beginning of his ministry, Jesus announced a vision that he had. He set down the work that all of his followers were to do. Each of those people who went from that upper room on that fateful evening, this was their mission. This is what they were to do. They were to bring good news to those people who were seen as inferior. News that God's favor and love was for everybody, not just for some folk who thought it was especially for them. He sent them out on a mission to work for justice and equity for all people, no matter who they were, no matter what they were about, no matter. They were to work for a world where the poor can see the time when their poverty might end. Imagine that in our society. They were to destroy all the things that imprison and enslave God's children, for to open the eyes of all people to the presence of God and the presence of God in their lives. They're to help people see that the person, to see the Christ in the person next to them rather than seeing an enemy. We've gotten awfully good at the second. You know, I've said so many times to people, when you and I get to where we see the Christ in each other, then all the ground between us becomes holy ground. That was the mission. We're to set people free from oppression and disease. We're to set people free from hatred and prejudice. We're to set people free from war. We're to set people free from the delusion that material possessions are the measure of someone's worth. We are quite simply to live in such a manner that the unconditional love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus is a reality in the world and not a dream. We talk about it like it's a dream all the time. We talk about it like it's some wonderful thing that may happen sometime, as they used to say in the old hymns, in the by and by. We're to live and work toward each person knowing that the Spirit of God is among them and is in them, that their gift, whatever it is desperately needed and appreciated by the rest of us. The fact is, and I've said this to lots of kids over the years, and I'm sure to you sometime, because we've been together a long time. I've said to people, you know, we are born into this world, this baby. We're born into this world as a gift, a special gift to parents and grandparents and church communities and so on. And our job as we mature and grow, our job is to discover what our gifts are and then to begin to find ways to give those gifts, to bless the world with them. You know, our young people, and you know, let's see who I can embarrass here. You know, Ty and Grant and Crystal and Ruby, and you know, and I'm going to tell Brighton and Everett they escaped it this morning. Okay. But that's their job, and they have no idea. I remember when I had no idea what my real gift was, or what I was called to be or do in this world, but I knew it was there somewhere, and that was my job to discover it. That together, once we've discovered those gifts and begin to give them, Together we make a complete community. We make a complete world that blesses every child of God. That's what we're about. Now let me make a confession to you, though. I do not have the patience of a Martin Luther King Jr. I think of him because we just went through Black History Month and so on, and I read some of his things. I am no longer willing to simply have a dream. I'm tired of that. Okay? I'm just an impatient old Irishman. It's just how I am. I'm ready for us, as this blessed, wealthy nation we are, to get off our lazy, self-centered, self-concerned backsides and make some things happen that God would want to have happen. We are blessed. We are called. We are given the resources to feed people, to teach people to read, to protect the weak and the needy out there. We are blessed with the ability. We could end poverty. We could end it. We could take the mentally ill off of our streets. We really could. We had them off our streets one time, and then we decided we didn't want to pay for that. That's the truth. We have the talent and the abilities and the resources to destroy all of the things that imprison and enslave God's children. We have the ability to open people's eyes to the presence of God and God's Spirit in their lives and to help people see the Christ instead of an enemy in their neighbor. We have all that ability. It's not a pipe dream, you know? We really can set people free from oppression and disease, from hatred and prejudice, from war, and from the delusion that material possessions somehow make someone worth more than somebody else. Would you pray with me? Eternal God, as we go through this Lenten season and celebrate the ministry and sufferings of Christ Jesus, help us somehow to reach out and realize that we are not separate things. We are one body in your Son, Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And now may we go from this place with new resolve to discover and use our gifts for God's children. And may our peace be a restless peace until all of God's children are at peace. Amen.